Welcome to the Virtual Team Heroes podcast. Here you will get inspirations and insights that will help you to manage your virtual team and to overcome the challenges of working remotely. Have fun! Welcome to another episode of the Virtual Team Hero podcast. I'm very happy to have an English-speaking guest this time. It's the first English version of this podcast. I have Matthew Lloyd, or Matt Lloyd, from WUKA. Hi, Matt. And first of all, just introduce yourself that our podcast listener gets an picture of your person, what you're doing, and what value do you add for companies?
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, Nadine. Very pleased to be on this podcast. And so it's Matthew Lloyd, as you said, that's my name. I've been, I guess, working remotely for the past 4 or 5 years, 4 years, 4 years, I would say. And sort of previous to that, it was, you know, the usual 9 till 5 or 9 till 6, as it was in the office scenario, working with software consultancies and software development firms. So interestingly, I suppose you could say I was the guinea pig within the company for remote work. So myself and my young lady, we wanted to move over to her home, which is the island of Gran Canaria. And I had that sort of interesting conversation with my managing director at the time, which the company's Box UK. And I sort of approached him. I said, you know, what's the chances of me working remotely? So we sat down and we said, sort of, how much of your time is sort of client meetings, face to face? I said, well, at the moment is a fair amount, but I think we could reduce that without any sort of really negative impact on the role. So after a couple of months, we had the go ahead and we moved out to Gran Canaria, and I've been working remotely ever since, really. Mm. So currently working with a company called WUKA, as you mentioned, and we're a virtual office. So I've been with them for a few months.
Yeah, it's very cool. So you manage it to work remotely 100% your time?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, we're the company itself, WUKA, we're a 100% distributed company as well. So we've got, there's myself here, I think there's three in the UK, and then America, Italy, I think there's two in Italy. So we're 100% distributed, spread across the globe. I think there's a chap who works in Australia as well.
Oh, cool. From your experience, what are the advantages for companies to have remote staff or work remotely?
Yeah, of course. I think this is sort of looks at, you can look at it from sort of, there's plenty of aspects to look at it from employee benefits, and I think sort of aside from that, there's lots of benefits for the company as well. Not the least of which is the reduction of your carbon footprint. I can imagine the majority of sort of in the UK, I know that the commute to work every day can take a couple of hours. So there's for the employee, they're saving a couple of hours of their day every time they commute, or they don't commute back and forth. And for the company, it can help them in the reduction of their carbon footprint and to help reduce their carbon emissions.
That's a big issue today, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that's sort of coming up more frequently. And I think it's one of the areas where remote working can benefit not just companies, but the planet. On a more global scale. So there's lots of other sort of benefits to remote working for companies. If you're a company that's looking to scale, I know after sort of I started working remote, and there's a huge digital skills gap across the world, I think. Certainly
for IT employees or employees with unique IT skills, then have a lack of talents here.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's, you know, it's giving people the option to work remotely, whether that's sort of 100% or not, but certainly you open up your door to a wider talent pool.
Yes.
Which I think is one of the biggest sort of advantages for a company when sort of, I guess, transforming or evolving into a remote sort of hybrid sort of model, is that you know, you can scale up the company and you don't need any extra office space either, so you can sort of reduce your costs. So lowering costs is probably one of the biggest advantages for any company as well, if you're looking to scale without having the cost of extra office space. Then having employees being able to work remotely is certainly a bonus for that. And you've got, you know, the companies out there, sort of your GitHub and your Zapier, which, you know, they're some of the biggest companies around, and they're 100% distributed. So it works for them, and it can work. I think, in terms of sort of for the employees, there's definitely that work-life balance that you get from working remotely.
That's my benefit. I find that I'm very satisfied to work remotely. So I'm not a person from 9 to 5 being in the office. So I can plan my day around work, or I can plan around the work around my hobbies.
I think you said one of your hobbies is horse riding. So I can imagine it's quite difficult to ride a horse in the dark. Some of the time.
Oh, we have indoor arena with lights, but this is full in the evening because all people working in the office coming to the stable in the evening. But in the winter time, it's very dark. You can go outside and get some lights, and you stay healthy.
Well, I had no idea that gyms could be empty or supermarkets could be empty, until I started working remotely and I was able to pop along to the gym at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and go to the supermarket at sort of 1 p.m. in the afternoon. I was like, wow, this is incredible. There's no queues. I can get to the machines. I can walk around without having to queue to pay for my goods at the supermarket. So there's that sort of freedom of time. You're given the gift of time, aren't you? I think because you cut out that hour and a half, 2 hour commute in the morning and then in the evening.
Yes.
If you have kids, I think you're able to spend more time with the kids as well, which is a huge, huge benefit for parents and for the children themselves as well, I think.
Yeah, and actually you save time. You can avoid a rush hour. So I'm in the Frankfurt area and often the London area. So both the rush hour is hell. So you need a lot of time. So it's
absolutely. And if you happen to be somebody that doesn't feel comfortable around crowds, it's ideal.
Yeah.
Definitely, as you said, avoid the rush hour and avoid the crowds.
Yes.
So there's lots of advantages.
Yeah, we talked about the advantages and the benefits. What are, in your opinion, what are the biggest challenges for working in a remote team, but both for companies and for employees?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question because I think one of the biggest challenges, and certainly one that I faced and we faced as a company, was that element of trust. I think managers, directors, there's a stigma or a cliche of what everybody thinks remote working is. And I think it's come from sort of prior times where maybe the technology wasn't available. Obviously, maybe the cloud wasn't as sort of capable as it is now. But certainly there was that sort of, oh, if he's at home, is he working as hard?
Yes.
Is he actually
working? Yeah, because they focus on time and not on results.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's that was one of the biggest challenges for us. But it just sort of we kind of came to the realization that if I do 2 hours working from home, the chances are I've probably been 2 hours of 100% productivity. Whereas I'm the conversations with my colleagues, and sort of in that 2 hours, I probably did the same amount of work as they did in 4 hours.
Yes.
For no reason. It's not sort of anybody wanting to do less or do more, but just sitting in the office, having colleagues around you, getting pulled into meetings, sort of having somebody come over and ask just a random question, you know, I tended to be a bit more productive in my time, which allowed me to have a little bit of extra spare time to go out and walk my dog in the afternoon. So you get that sort of, I know certainly from like people that code, programmers, they like to get into that zone, and they find it quite difficult to get into that zone in the office environment.
Yeah.
I think when you're at home, it's a lot easier to get into that zone. But then, you know, working from home does have its own challenges as well. So if you don't have a house or a flat with a separate room for an office, it can be difficult to not get interrupted during those times. But I've heard sort of some stories of people having a room where they've got a red, amber and green light system on the outside. So obviously that's how some people's solution have come across. I just say, these are the times that I will be working. Don't interrupt me here. And, you know, I've got spare time here, so I can be interrupted. But yeah, everybody's got their own sort of challenges. I think the issue that I touched upon, communication, and I'm not sure if you've sort of found this yourself at all, but we had to find new ways of communicating in terms of sort of we had HipChat.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we used email and we had Jira and all these different tools for project management and the chatting and so forth. And we had to sort of say that if it's on HipChat, it tended to be something that was like a general conversation. So you didn't necessarily have to answer that straight away. And with emails, we put like a governance sort of model type thing in where it was emails have to be answered within 24 hours, but HipChat, it can be a little bit more flexible. And then we put time in for sort of meetings. We were using Zoom at the time, I think, as well.
Okay.
And maybe Skype or something. But again, they weren't, how can you say it? They weren't very, it wasn't a natural flow to using these systems, because you still had to look at everybody's sort of calendars and find and book the meetings in. So we actually took, to make the time spent during the meetings more, I guess, focused, we used the silent meeting, which Mr. Bezos from Amazon, I think, started. So we started using these. We thought to ourselves, I was doing a bit of research on how we can make things better and so forth in this element. And yeah, I happened across this and I thought, well, you know what, if it's good enough for Amazon, he hasn't done badly out of these silent meetings. If it's good enough for him, then I
then
think
we can have a try.
Yeah, we'll give it a go. It's a fair assumption that it's a good idea. So yeah, and that brought our meetings to a little bit more focus as well. But there are challenges to working remotely. Obviously, the one that springs to mind, and I certainly came upon it sort of after a few months, is that sort of isolated, lonely.
Yeah, that's
element.
Sometimes my biggest challenge,
yeah.
Isolation. So, you spoke about all the communication tools. That's something you can overcome as challenges, but you're more isolated and you don't have somebody say, oh, let's have a coffee together and have a chat. So you have to pick up somebody in the communication tools. It's not as easy as in the office to have
no.
a talk with somebody.
No, I think for me, I'm quite extroverted in I like being around people. I've always been sort of working in large areas. So that was a big challenge. Like I missed the morning banter.
Yeah.
You know, when you get in on a Monday morning or any morning really, and you know, that just general chit chat with your colleagues, what did they do last night? Did you watch the football? Did you watch the rugby? You know, if the opposite person might support the different football team to you and you played that weekend, you can have a bit of ribbing about the fact they lost to you. It's just that's I guess that sort of engaged office community feeling was one of the biggest challenges that I certainly faced. And I think, you know, certainly in my current company and what we've built, that we built Worker to try and solve this sort of remote
yeah.
community, engaging with your teammates and work colleagues from a remote aspect by simply sort of logging into the office as you would walk into an office every day.
Yeah, that's my next question. How can companies overcome these challenges and how can Worker help?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I mean, Worker's not the only platform out there helping with this. There's a couple of other platforms that we've worked with as well. And then sort of the reason we created and we built Worker was for this exact purpose, really. We all sort of work, as I said, distributed. We needed to feel like we were still part of a community, still engaged. With ourselves and with our work colleagues on a daily basis. And it just sort of a natural progression came about where we had a video conference one morning and we sort of all left the video on and just continued from there. And suddenly it was like, well, actually, this is quite a nice way to work. We're all working in wherever we are, but we can still feel like we're together in an office. And I think that's where Worker comes in. It's that sort of working together from anywhere scenario. It's you wake up in the morning, you go walk your dog, make yourself a cup of coffee, sit down. I know there's always the banter of, you know, you might have a polo shirt on top, but you've got sweatpants on at the bottom. So you look respectable from the sort of chest up, but yeah, we log in and it's helped me enormously to feel like I'm part of my work community again. I log in the morning and we have a joke and a laugh and
yeah,
hey, what have you got planned for the day? How's your day looking? How's your weekend? How was your, you know, you just, you know more about their personal lives as well. So I think it was listened to something yesterday. They said, it's interesting, you never really know how tall somebody is.
No.
When you're working in this.
No, I only an audio from the webcam, so just stand up.
Yeah.
Funny game.
Absolutely. And I think, yeah, so we built it for that reason, really. It was just sort of a natural, organic progression. And we're helping, and we want to try and sort of, A, the reduction of the carbon emissions is sort of something that is, we've noticed, is sort of quite big and high on the agenda, helping to reduce sort of loneliness, certainly sort of the mindfulness aspect there.
It gives you a feeling of a shared desk, like in the co-working space. So I know Ruka, I'm locked in, so I have different people and different, it's like built up in different meeting rooms, so you can have some people in the meeting rooms, you see the faces, you can communicate, so it's like they're sitting next to you. You can get the impression,
It's basically trying to replicate the physical office with a virtual office. We're still in beta, so we've got a long way to go, but...
Yeah, but it's a good beginning.
Yeah, it's a good
start.
Well, we're very pleased that you sort of use it for yourself and for some of your meetings and some of your sort of colleagues as well. So it's nice to have people on board, and it's nice to have. I think for us, I think remote working is the future of work.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, it's you know, it's not something that's going to become less. It's just going to be more. And I think if we're from a sort of, when you look at it, sort of the carbon emissions, and if you look at it sort of from a save the planet aspect as well, I mean, the less office buildings that need to be built because people can work from the comfort of their home or the beach or whatever they want to work from, that also means that, you know, maybe the Amazon gets cut down a bit less. Quite significantly less in the long term as well.
I have the impression that managers have a learning there too. So they have to let go. They don't have to focus on time, but on results. So it's a long way.
I mean, that's something you help out.
Yes, I help out. With managers, with teams, how to implement that in companies. What you do to make the right decisions, or how is decision making process in virtual teams, how to overcome the burnout and the loneliness, and what tools you can use. There's a lot more around that than just giving, you have a laptop, just go to Las Palmas on the beach and work from there. It's much more than just having the right tools or having a laptop.
Yeah. Well, for yourself then, that's an interesting point there. So what when you go into companies, what's the sort of the biggest challenge that they're facing? Is it sort of that cultural?
Yes, cultural and team spirit. And I think it's from country to country different. And I think Germany, we have the problem that managers have the issue of letting go. They have to control everything, and they have to plan anything. It's more German culture.
Yeah.
Organize everything, to plan everything. So now you have these agile concepts and these remote teams, and they have fear of letting go. And when you go to other cultures like the US, it's different.
Yeah.
So you have to deal with loneliness in the team and to build up a good team spirit, a team culture. And
I think I read somewhere that the other day, I think it's Boston, Massachusetts, I think they're the first sort of state to put some kind of law,
We in Germany too, they plan a law for working from home. Yes, so that you have a right working from home. They plan the law.
So I found that really interesting. I think, it's the space of what sort of the space that work are in terms of sort of virtual offices can help for companies and their leaders to alleviate some of the fears, the concerns, the risks that they endemically sort of see about remote working. I think it's there's something to be said about sort of leadership, because there's lots of sort of management courses and leadership courses, but you don't see at this stage, you don't see many sort of universities teaching remote management.
No, they should. Maybe it's a good thing to go to business school and say, oh, you offer a course for your students and for your executives. So, yeah, it would be a good way. So an executive MBA programs that they learn how to work remotely and how to have a remote, manage a remote team. Because they have the fear of loss of productivity, but actually remote workers are more productive than office workers. That's my feeling. I don't think
it's always been my feeling as well. I think the thing about going to an office is as soon as you step into the office, you feel like you're at work. But with remote, because your office is sort of, for example, with work, I log in, I'm working online with all my colleagues. I feel like I'm at work, but equally, I'm still working remotely, and my brain is constantly, whether it's a kind of a reciprocal sort of endemic thing that I feel the need to be more productive, to prove myself, to prove my worth of working remotely. So it's like, you've given me this opportunity to work remotely, I now need to prove that this can work. So there's that endemic sort of reverse psychology in your brain where you're like,
and that's a risk for burnout. That's a risk, high risk for burnout, because you have to prove you do more than you have to do. You do things you can do in 2 days, you do in 1 day, to prove that you are more productive than in the office.
Yeah,
so then that's a risk for burnout too.
Yeah, I certainly, when I first started, I had Slack or HipChat on my phone, as it was, and I had email notifications on and everything else. And after about 6 months, I think the best thing I ever did was I got rid of HipChat from my phone.
Yes.
So I didn't have that any longer. I wasn't constantly getting barraged with messages. I've recently split my phone into, I've got like an Android phone, which I don't know how it certainly didn't have it before, but you can have a work mode and you turn work mode off, and then that just stops any emails or anything related to work coming through. So I've got, it's almost like partitioned my phone into, these are the apps that I use for work, and when I switch work mode on, all these apps start working. And then at whatever time at night I switch work mode off, that's it. I no longer get any notifications from work and so forth. I still occasionally check. I'm terrible for that. But at least I'm not sort of getting buzzed every 2 minutes from a Slack channel or HipChat that we have, where, you know, you tend to be part of lots of different groups in these platforms, I've noticed, and you get bombarded with messages that don't necessarily have anything related to you at all. You just happen to be part of that group, which has 20 or 30 members who are, three of them could be having a conversation, but you have to have an
extra channel for that. So for informal communication, you have an own Slack channel, and work-related topics are in other channels.
Yeah.
So you can jump in when you say, okay, I've got some small talk with other people, I go to this channel. So maybe we can work around that.
Yeah. I think that sort of makes me think about how work has improved how sort of working in the digital virtual office space, how that has sort of helped me to shut off at the end of the day as well. Because I tended to find that you, like the commute, I would read a book or I listen to a podcast on a commute in the past, and it was an hour or an hour, you know, train journey or car journey. But that gave you time to sort of decompress from the work, the day at work, which I found quite difficult when I first started working remotely, to decompress from the day, to switch off. Like my usual working attire is a polo shirt and maybe a pair of shorts. but I always found, and it took me a while to get this to the mode where once I finished work, because I was working at home, I never felt, even though I shut my laptop down, I never really felt like I'd left the office. And then sort of I started thinking to myself, well, rather than, I'll do the reverse commute, if you like. So rather than catch a bus or drive or walk into the office, whatever you want, once I finished work, I'd go for a walk to feel like I finished work. And that's like, I still do it now, but now that I log in to a virtual office in the morning and then I log out in the evening, when I log out of work in the evening, I immediately feel like I finished work.
Okay. Yeah.
And I go for a swim. I still go for a swim. I go for a stroll with the dog, but it doesn't feel like me decompressing or leaving the office for the day anymore. It just feels like this is what I would do anyway, because I like walking my dog.
Okay. Yeah, it's a cool routine. Have a try. Putting on my riding clothes, and that's how I can shut down the work.
Yeah.
Putting on my riding clothes. So yeah. I always have working clothes on when I'm in my home office.
Yeah.
Not a pajama at all. But really working clothes. It helped me to keep up the energy for the working mode. When I have on my riding clothes in the office, would be like, okay, it's more hobby, but it's helping me to put on working clothes in the home office to keep up the energy.
Yeah,
to be get productive. Yeah, it's my routine. Yes.
Yeah.
I've got a last question. What are your three takeaways for organizations and companies which are just starting out working remotely?
I think over communication is the biggest one, I would say. I think for me, that's one of the bonuses of remote working, because you have to over communicate. You have to write everything down. You can't have information just stuck in one person's head, which I think you tend to find in a lot of office environments. One person leaves and they take that knowledge that's in their head with them. But I think with remote working, because of the nature of remote working, you have to write everything, you have to have that over communication. You don't have that sort of single point of knowledge person in the company. So make sure that you over communicate and you write everything down. I think get over the fear, take the leap. Would be if they're considering it, make sure that you go all in. Don't sort of do it just because you've heard it's the new craze and you want to give it a go. Go for it. Go all in. Maybe do it sort of iteratively. So, you know, have people 1 or 2 days a week where they work away, but make sure that you've got a plan in place so that you know that it starts here, but this is the end goal. And have sort of a roadmap for how you want that to look planned out. I would imagine that's something you might be able to help them with.
Yes.
And I think the biggest sort of takeaway. I had something in my head then, but it just left. What were they going to say? Goodness me. You can edit this out, can't you? Yeah. Hang on. Sign up for Worker?
Yeah. We put the link into the show notes.
Sign up for Worker.
Yeah, for try it on Worker. It's really cool.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you like it. I think, yeah, it's we're in early stages, and it's only going to get better with some integrations and so forth. So. Yeah, I still can't. It's gone out of my head. I had something. It was almost profound, but it's gone out of my head.
Focus on results and not on time.
Yes, focus on results. That's it. Focus on results and not on time, and trust.
Yes.
Yeah, I think there's. You need to trust people to be grown-ups and adult enough to do their jobs. So yeah, I think the biggest takeaway is just have a go.
Have a try.
Start off.
So, yeah.
Start off. Contact sort of consultants such as yourself, Nadine, to help along the way to create that roadmap. But yeah. Yeah, there's plenty of tools out there such as Worker and whatever else that can help. There's no reason to not have remote work in a company anymore, I don't think.
Yes. Matt, thank you very much.
No problems. Nadine, it's been
very interesting conversation, funny conversation with you, and yeah.
It's been my pleasure. And if I think of what I was going to say, I'll come back to you with it.
Yes.
Maybe not part of this, but on a separate note.
Thanks a lot, Matt, for this interesting conversation. And I think you could give a lot of insights and inspiration for companies who would like to start out working remotely. And we put the link to Worker in the show notes of this podcast. So just sign up for Worker and have a try. And then we hear us in the next episode of the Virtual Team Heroes podcast. Bye.